This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris and you're listening to The Morning Run. It's now 9:35 a.m. Time for Pressing Matters. That's the show that takes you beyond the headlines of the day as we speak to people behind the news. Now, last Friday, we spoke on air of Al Jazeera's investigative documentary that was newly released. They exposed Malaysia as a thriving hub for baby selling. Here's a clip from that documentary.
Babies for sale. This lucrative, illegal trade is openly advertised on Malaysian social media. Potential buyers can pick from a catalogue of pregnant women, customizing a child by gender, color, and race. It's driven by a web of agents, doctors, and corruption. On this episode of 101 East, we go undercover in Malaysia to expose its shadowy baby-selling industry.
So joining us on the show today are two journalists from the 101 East Al Jazeera team. We've got Chan Tao Cho and Sarah Yeo. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, morning. Thanks for having us.
Hello.
So I'm going to call you TC. I hope you don't mind. Now, sure. I understand both of you went undercover for this story. You were forced to do some secret filming. And your producer tells me that at times you both risked your lives. So let's start with how you first came across this story. I mean, how did you learn that there was, in fact, an illegal baby trade in Malaysia?
I think Facebook was a very important source for our story to begin with. We learned that there were people who were... There are a lot of Facebook pages out there, and at first glance, they come across as adoption websites. But it's very easy to join them and then see that there are many people posting there on behalf of women with unwanted pregnancies, women with unwanted children. So that became the initial platform for a lot of the transactions to take place. And then we dug a bit deeper. We realized that these women were willing to give up their children for a fee. Mm. So the fee is determined by the gender, the race, the weight, the features, the skin color, things like that, right? So straight away, you can see there's commodification of the babies. So you dig a bit deeper again and you realize that there is a whole chain of events that unfold as part of a transaction. And they include doctors colluding with corrupt government officials to falsify birth certificates. Sometimes they involve welfare homes providing shelter for women with unwanted pregnancies, trying to hide from the social stigma, right. You know, pregnancy out of wedlock. And more shockingly, we learned that there were sex syndicates who were turning women into baby factories. So we started joining the dots and exposed a whole chain of rabbit holes for us to dive into, and that's how the investigation started.
Which is really surprising because at first it started out with just, you know, an unwanted pregnancy, trying to match that with parents who want the baby.
Right.
And then it just got deeper and deeper and it ended up with the illegal sex trade and human trafficking. Now, I know that this may be an obvious question, but it needs to be asked. Why did you feel like this was an important story to tell?
I think basically because of who we saw the real victims were. And these are the babies who very obviously don't have a voice. They cannot decide what happens to them, whether they get sold or not. If they are lucky, they end up in good homes, but not all of them are. And as we learn in the film, some of them end up in the hands of syndicates. These could be for begging, groomed for the sex industry, for pedophiles and so on. And it really shouldn't be a situation where it's left to chance, where someone's future is left to chance. And it all can be avoided with proper background checks, proper monitoring.
Well, let's talk about some of the people that we meet in your documentary. Hartini Zainuddin is one of them. She's a child rights activist. And she somehow stumbled into the world of baby selling and ended up adopting a baby girl of her own, right? Mm, yeah. How did you come across her story?
Well, it's actually quite widely reported. So that's, you know, there are certain elements in the story that are actually readily available on in public sources. You know, they're already there in local news reports. So we were checking out BFM recordings as well for some of the story sources, you know.
Glad to be of help.
Yeah, it was very helpful. And then we, you know, you had people here talking about the issue in 2013 after the Ops Pintasayang. Ops Pintasayang, right? Yeah.
And that was what was Ops Pintasayang?
There was a time when the police busted some syndicates that were selling babies to a bunch of some adoptive parents who decided to go down the illegal adoption route and bought from these syndicates. And same thing, they also went through someone from the National Registration Department to falsify birth certificates. So there were all these breadcrumbs along the way, and including Hartini's story, which we started piecing together and realized that there is really a bigger tale to tell behind everything. Mm.
So what started as kind of just browsing on Facebook led to a bigger story. So while you were kind of doing research on Facebook, you met a baby seller who goes by the name Bunda, which means mother in Malay. Now, what were some of the immediate red flags that you realized, okay, she's not just simply anyone?
Okay, Bunda told us a lot of things quite readily, surprisingly. She offered a lot of information, but I think we both agree one of the biggest red flags was when she told us she doesn't use local women and she only uses Indonesian women because they're easier to manage. For us, that was a big red flag, big question mark. How are you getting all the women here? How do you have such a ready supply of pregnant women with babies who they want to give up?
Mm. Yeah. So in the documentary, I think it was about 70 or 80 women.
78
yeah. women right, that yeah. she said that she had as pregnant and ready to supply babies.
Mm. That's what she claimed, and we did everything we could to try and verify and nail down where exactly these shelters were where she said she was keeping them. She was very tight-lipped. She wouldn't say anything. So obviously, we can't just take her word for it. But so we plugged away and we kept sort of cultivating a relationship with her so that she could eventually trust us, because she doesn't like the adoptive parents or the buyers in this case to meet the pregnant mothers, she says, because she doesn't want these women to know where their children went in case they change their minds right. later.
And but you were given a catalogue, right? A catalogue of women to choose from.
Yeah, that was later on, because we only started believing her when she was willing to bring some of these women to her house to meet us. And that's what you saw in the film.
Did you at any point in time feel that she was suspicious of you being undercover? Because at this point in time, you were also doing some secret filming and recording as well.
I'm pretty sure she was very careful. So I'm pretty sure she maybe had her doubts about us. But over time, she revealed more and more. Like you said, she sent us a catalogue of pregnant women. She says, choose from these. She gave us their names, their occupations, how many months pregnant. So it convinced us that she did have what she said.
Wow. And she seemed to have sort of a formula of doing things, right? She explained to us how every step goes. You know, you get a statutory declaration from the mother, make sure that it's in black and white so she cannot change her mind down the road, and then you get the police to sign it or someone in the police force she knows who sign it so that everything is not fraudulent. So that way, you know, and then she continued to explain every step how it works. So it's very methodical. And so that gave us, an indication about the fact that she does this, she knows what she's doing.
But also in the documentary, you said at one point you realized it was too risky to pursue this lead any further. What was that kind of trigger for you not to pursue this?
Mm. I think she has connections in high places, that's one. And she's not operating alone because she always brings up her husband.
Did you meet him at any point in time? You did.
We did.
Yeah, we did. And other than her husband, we also came across one other man. So I think she's not operating alone, and certainly there are backups if things go down haywire. You know, without revealing too much that could compromise certain things, there was reason for us to say that, okay, we found out what we need to find out from her. It's time to pull the plug and move on, because we need to develop the story.
Amazing. You're listening to Behind the Scenes take of what it is to go undercover. We're speaking to TC and Sarah from Al Jazeera on their recent Babies for Sale investigative documentary. After this, we discuss how Malaysia's underground sex trade has been cashing in on the baby selling business. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got with me this morning TC and Sarah, two Al Jazeera journalists who went undercover to help expose the thriving baby-selling trade in Malaysia, which often involved corrupt medical practitioners and government officials. Now, as part of their investigation, they came across Jane, a young pregnant Filipino woman who previously worked as a maid, but her work visa has expired. And through that, we saw what it meant to falsify birth documents. Here's a clip from the documentary.
They say we have to get a doctor to change the mother's name on the prenatal medical records, replacing Jane's name with our own. After the birth, the fake documents are submitted to the government registry, which issues the birth certificate with our names as the real parents. This way, no one would ever know the baby isn't ours.
So that was a clip from the documentary. Now, guys, by law, migrant workers are not allowed to bear children in Malaysia. So when you came across Jane and she's her pregnancy, if she were to give birth here, her baby would be stateless.
That's right.
So then you pulled at that medical records thread and found that, in fact, there was a whole collusion of medical industry as well.
Correct. So it was through Jane. And I would say that she's just a face of many vulnerable women who are in the same situation, where if they give birth here, their children will not have citizenship, will not have any rights. But through that trail, we got to meet a few doctors along the way, and they revealed themselves to be enablers, so to speak. They would tell us quite openly what they could offer. These would be falsifying birth documents. These were they had contacts in registry departments to make sure it all goes smoothly and that the buying parents will never be found out.
And they do the delivery as well.
Yeah. So what stunned me was the fact that they would package this as a one-stop center, right? So, we will deliver the baby, give you the birth certificate, and sort out all the paperwork. Now, you were undercover as prospective adoptive parents,
correct.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you pretended to want to buy a baby. Now, talk to me about some of the people that you've met and how far this goes.
Mm. I think the further down the rabbit hole, you realize that it gets darker and grimmer, right? And with Dr. Pania, not only was he able to do the delivery, he could also connect us with his contacts who are able to find us children. And also for himself, he also, as a doctor, comes across women with unwanted pregnancies whom he can convince to go through the delivery, keep the baby, and then make money from it. And on top of that, like you say, it's a one-stop shop. So if you go through him for the right fee, he will link you up with people from, or rather he will link the service up with the people from the National Registration Department who do the birth certificates.
So this was a practicing medical doctor, right? And did you tug at that thread about how far it went with the National Registration Department?
Mm. So with that, we wanted to illustrate that Dr. Pania is not a one-off, right? So we went down several rabbit holes to investigate various medical groups, medical practitioners in the sector. And one of the elements that provided us with more evidence was this group called Gamma Medic. And as you can see, they are actually very well connected. The daughter-in-law of the chairman, who is also a doctor herself with one of the clinics, actually told us that they pay off 8 officers in different centres, different branches of the JPN or NRD, as you call it in English, to do this. So they have insiders and they go quite deep in. They can really ensure that everything is hassle-free and you won't have a problem with your birth certificate.
That was one of the more compelling moments of the documentary, I have to say. And I think we really should hear a clip from that moment that you were describing. This is one of Gamma Medical doctors explaining how the process works.
Mm. You don't have to be nervous because we do this on like a very regular basis. Okay. I think that's how the word of mouth spread that we actually do
BC refers to birth certificate. They show us the papers to be submitted to the National Birth Registry, JPN.
So So this was actually one of the leases which we have done before.
We'll give you that, a copy of the injection card and the appointment card. Because these are the essential documents that we will give you to give to JPN.
Once at a JPN branch, she says, their contacts inside will take over.
So we have one officer, so-called, in each of these JPNs. We've got about eight under whom we pay or so. So we will tell you the date, the time, and which JPN to go to.
So that was crazy that, you know, she's just explaining the process to you as though it's you know, just part of the bureaucracy. Mm. We'll tell you which JPN to go to and we'll, you know, have someone in there to sort it out. What happened, because I saw in the documentary, and I'd like to point out that this was months of investigations and, as you said, multiple rabbit holes, but we only saw 20 minutes of the final product. Mm. But you went back to get a comment from Gamma Medics Group Chairman, who's a Datuk Sri, by the way. Mm. And you weren't quite successful. He had no comment. Do you think he was aware, or has he responded now that the documentary has gone out?
No response.
But you know, they seem so open with the fact that they have people within the registration department already to get it sorted.
That's right. They were very forthcoming with information, much more than we expected. I don't think we needed to tease it out very much at all.
No, yeah.
And I think this comes from a sense of comfort. And they readily offered that they've been doing this for decades. It's a generational thing. And if there were any problems, we could just pay them off. That's what they said.
Wow, it's remarkable. I mean, for I think to hear that, that would have been kind of the breakthrough moment to say, okay, there are people who are clearly entrenched in the system and the process, making use of the loopholes.
Yeah, I think that's the snapshot of the whole thing. I mean, they're not the only ones doing it, I'm sure. And I think we found that out as well. But the whole point is that because of the impunity, everybody's so desensitized to it that they think it's acceptable. Right, so people don't really care. So if the adopters don't really care, the doctors don't really care, the authorities don't really care, you don't expect the syndicates to care, right? So that's how the crime just keeps perpetuating in a vicious circle.
Well, it gets shadowy because you then discovered that the Malaysia's underground sex trade was also cashing in on the baby selling business. Now, that was really quite remarkable because when sex workers got pregnant, now they would then deliver the baby and sell the baby. So the traffickers, as Edgel from Tenaga Nita said in the documentary, the trafficker makes triple the amount of money. Mm-hmm. So how on earth was that undercover process like? And, you know, how did you uncover the shady sex world industry?
Right. And to begin with, not all the syndicates, I believe, are doing that, but certainly a good number of them are actually exploiting this side of things to turn the women into baby factories. So the two of us were basically staking out in a red light district, cultivating relationships. You know, old-fashioned shoe leather journalism.
Yeah.
You know, just pounding the streets, knocking on doors, and just cultivating the sources so that people got comfortable with us. People who worked there, lived there, started talking to us, and then we start piecing together bits and pieces of information. And then after a while, we got linked up to the right person in the right syndicate to pursue.
Well, that was, I think, by chance, right? Good luck, some luck your way.
Good luck and just hard work.
Hard work, yeah. Yeah. So then, you know, what was really also quite shocking for me was these sex traffickers would then say, well, if you want a baby, you can choose which sex worker to impregnate. And that kind of took a really sordid turn for me. The whole documentary went, oh, what started as a baby selling business, now you can create a baby in this underground trade.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it all stems from this whole unregulated environment for adoption. That's why syndicates are thinking two steps ahead. If you have that demand, I'll meet you with the supply. And that's why we cannot just turn a blind eye and say that, oh, it's okay because we assume the kids are going to a better home. It's not always the case. Yeah.
And it seems like it's come to a point where you're right. It's changed. It's been exploited. It's been perverted. It seems to come to a point where you can customize the baby you want.
Yeah, so, customize the baby. You're right.
Yeah, it feels like, as Hartini says in the documentary, she says it's like a supermarket. You can choose the gender, the race, color, wait.
Okay, so a couple of questions before we end. How did you guys work to ensure the legality of your recordings? Because a lot of that was done in secret and also kind of undercover. Mm. How did you ensure that?
There are very strict guidelines legally that we have to go through. We have to go through a very rigorous process to justify covert filming, and that involves getting sign-offs from our directors in Doha, the legal team in Doha, and as well as consulting lawyers in Malaysia for regarding the law of the land. And you have to tick several boxes before you're allowed to go ahead with covert filming.
Uh-huh.
And essentially, it has to be a matter of public interest, and there's just no other way that you can find out the information. And after gathering the information based on prima facie evidence, that means we don't go fishing for evidence. There's reason to suspect somebody before we go and investigate them. After gathering that evidence, we then have to go through the same rigorous process to ensure that whatever we put out is justified and actually verifies the reason for us to go down that route.
Wow. Sarah, what do you hope will change following the airing of this documentary?
Well, after the airing, we've seen a lot of ministries come up with press releases condemning baby selling, calling for immediate police action. And we hear that there are investigations now underway. So all this is very encouraging. But also, instead of just taking out a few players, which would be great, it's a system that doesn't seem to favour the best interests of the child. And I think that's something, that's a bigger picture that we need to look into.
Okay, it's now 9:59. I've been speaking to TC and Sarah, the journalists from the 101 East Al Jazeera team, whose invaluable work has helped expose this baby selling trade in Malaysia. We thank you all for your good work and for being on the show today. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having us.
Now, for those who haven't watched documentary, I highly recommend you watch it. Just search Malaysia Babies for Sale on YouTube. Thanks for listening to this week's Pressing Matters. I'm Melissa Idris. Same time next week, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.